comic book wars without James Lamborghini, aka Jimmy Linguini. We've hacked the system and we're here with you live. Sleepy, introduce yourself.
Oh, Sleepy John here. What was your name?
I'm Nico, your weekend update correspondent for comicbookspeculation.com.
Yes, yes. So we
do not have James Lamborghini with us today. We believe that he is in the custody of one Steven Seagal. If you've seen Mr. Lamborghini, please contact local authorities.
Do not approach Steven Seagal on your own. You will be unsuccessful.
It's very true.
Unless you have Chuck Norris with you.
Also very true. We got a great podcast. Who's excited?
Great podcast. Yeah. Lots of good stuff to talk about tonight.
All right, let's get into it. I'm not what you would call the most technically adept person in the world. Nevertheless, I will do my best to guide us through the podcast. It appears that we have lost one, Sleepy John. Momentarily, he shall return promptly. In the interim, what I'd like to do is go ahead and get into this week's new books. First and foremost, we've got a number. Oh, he's back.
Dude, you have 2 minutes in. You kicked me off the chat. Are you trying to take this over on your
back
own?
Back in the New York groove. No, I'm not capable of doing that. Let's get into new books. Where do you want us to begin?
Did you hear anything on Venom number 18 that comes out tomorrow?
Yes. I have a copy downstairs that I have not read.
Come on, man. Here's where I put my Jimmy hat. Jeez. Supposed to read the copies that you get. Well, otherwise, what's the point of getting them?
I mean, I'll read it. Just I don't have necessarily the time to promptly read it the moment that I leave my day job.
I was interested if there was more in it than
what had been leaked online. Right. So here's what I did. I snuck to the last page, and you ready? Spoiler. Sleeper's still alive. Who's excited? Okay. Yeah. So a game is afoot.
So he did not bond with Dylan Brock at this point?
No. Nah.
Okay. Does he still got the dead dude inside of him?
No. Nah. All those pages have leaked. I'm shocked that you haven't seen them. I'm sorry I didn't send them to you. The good pages, like the ones that were important, leaked. Basically, what happens is he gets stuck in a little tube. And, you know, there's still a possibility that that's going to happen. If you sold your copies, you know, good for you. If you didn't sell your copies, good for you. who knows how this is necessarily going to go. Selling them was the safe move. Selling them now is still a safe move. And if you're risk averse like me, get them out the door. If you're not, and, you know, you want to roll the dice, there's still a shot. And I'm not sure where exactly that's going to happen. I didn't, you know, necessarily flip through the book with any sort of, like, deliberate intention of picking up what precisely was going on or have the time to actually sit down and read the book in its entirety. So, you know, I think there's probably some information to be gleaned from about where the story is going to go from there. But the possibilities are still alive and well. The big takeaway that I did see was that what's his name? The guy that looks like Professor X,
Mr. Future, or
the maker. The maker, of course, bonds with the whatever the hell thing is. You know what I'm talking about? It's like
Sleeper.
No, it's like four symbiotes in one, blah, blah, blah. But anyway, at the end, he calls...
I haven't been reading it. This is leading up to it.
He calls Dylan my son. So like all of these sorts of like familial references continue to get spun in this book in a real tongue-in-cheek kind of way. I don't necessarily take too much from any of that stuff, and I wouldn't necessarily jump on any of those kinds of turns of phrase. Because I don't think they're necessarily indicative of like a strict family relationship. But there was a really cool cover for that, right? It's like the only one I like.
Yeah,
that's I can't say that I like it a lot, but I liked it enough to pay $4 for it or whatever.
There's like a bunch of these that came out this week. I got them loaded in here, but
yeah, this is the regular cover.
That's the regular
with the maker on the back.
Sell them for like $15.
The regular cover?
Yeah.
Oh, and I picked up more copies. And then the one that I passed on that I screwed up on was this one by our favorite artist, Mr. Zurcher.
Yeah. Patrick Zurcher, though.
Patrick.
John and Ozzy's brother. The shop had that? Because I thought you said they don't ever have variants.
They had that variant. I just passed on it. I didn't know it was like a thing.
Yeah, it's a 1 in 25 selling for $50 easily out the gate right now. So
if you screw that up, one. Add me to the list of add that to my long list of screw ups.
Well, yeah, I didn't know. Moderns aren't your thing though, so I'm not going to blame you on that one.
They're definitely not. It's a work in progress.
Yeah.
What do they say? Master, you know, like what am I? Jack of all trades, master of none.
Ooh. Jack of no trades, master of none. I think is. No.
Is the situation what's going on here?
Is that not it? Is that not right?
Jack off who tries to buy way too many books from way too many genres without deep knowledge about too much of anything.
Yeah.
And accordingly misses low hanging fruit like this.
Yeah. So that seems to be definitely, I think, the hot book this week.
Yeah. Can I tell you what I liked? What was my really exciting book? Bow. Hello. Yeah. I'm still hot on House of X and Powers of X. I
can't believe like stores aren't like upping their orders on these still.
I don't know. This has got to be the one where it's over, right? I mean, there was enough time.
Well, okay. I guess the problem with it is that because this comes out every week, so this is issue number 4. So there's either 7 or 8 issues out tomorrow in the whole Powers and House. You know, one
up through, issue 8.
Yeah, up through like let's say at least through week 3, maybe week 4, all their orders had to be in basically before number 1 hit the stands because it comes out every week. It's not like monthly where you have time to adjust by the 3rd issue, let's say. Usually first and second issue you can't adjust them, but by the 3rd, so yeah, I would think like you're saying, but this one's still selling for $15. So the other half of this one is already out. That's the thing. I don't know. I honestly haven't read past issue 3, so I'm not sure what's going on in the story at this point. But I think I still see people talking about it and they like it. So we'll see.
I'm incredibly thrilled with how well it's going. It's legit. My favorite book that's being published now and my favorite X-Men book in a long, long, long time.
I think that's what a lot of people are saying. Like they haven't read X-Men for a while and some people are getting back on this.
So yeah. We'll do you want to talk about this one?
Oh yeah. Well, yeah, we can do that if you want. A couple other books. This is King Thor number 1. I didn't realize this is only a 4-issue miniseries. So it's Jason Aaron, who's done a lot of the Thor stuff recently that's been very well received. This is on the cover. You can see some of the spec I want to bring up, which has been catching on for a little while. Obviously, this was solicited a while back. People knew it was coming. Also, they mentioned the characters that were going to be in it. So you have King Thor there with the beard, obviously Loki in the back, and then the, what are they called? The Granddaughters of Thor. As a team, they're called the Goddesses of Thunder. So they were in the God of Thunder series. They first appeared in number 8, Thor, God of Thunder number 8. I think we have a picture of that one.
Okay. This is where it gets complicated because they're really little pictures and I struggle. Bam! What's up? No,
it's not that one, but we'll talk about that one real quick.
No,
that's
how about this one? Bam!
Yeah, it's that one.
Yeah, that's the God of Thunder series. Red at the bottom.
Yeah,
Marvel Now.
Yeah.
I thought that was like the 125 or something. I didn't know.
No, that's the God of Thunder, the God Bomb story arc where they first appeared. Okay. And this is starting to sell for $20 now because of this. And I don't think, you know, the masses don't know.
You're wobbling there.
In terms of voice?
Voice.
It's crackling.
Crackling. We may need you to return to exit and return to where's Jimmy when I need him. So isn't that a nice cover? While John's gone, maybe we can look at one of the other books that I enjoyed, or alternatively, we can talk about some of the things that I find more interesting than random Thor books. All right. Oh, now he's already back. He's back.
Yeah, so he's back. So we'll try this again. This book is selling.
StreamYard sucks, dude.
$20. Yeah, StreamYard's terrible. I think it's because they're like just getting their feet under them, and when Hangouts went to crap, they saw an opportunity. So now people are using it. So
anyway, it should
get better. Yeah. So this is starting to sell for $20. I think tomorrow, once people start reading the series and see that these are integral characters, they'll be searching this.
It's a gorgeous cover. Oh, yeah, my God.
It's nice. Well, I mean, it's Esad Rebic. I mean, the dude does not do bad work.
He's strong.
Yeah. The other book that you put up was Thor number 6 from the last series that is ending, basically, to go into King Thor. The last page of this shows Loki, where he's bonded with the all-black symbiote.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong. Is there not a variant cover to that?
There is. Yeah. There's Marvel Knights. I think it's called Marvel Knights 20 variant. There is a 1-in-100 variant and a 1-in-200 variant. It's the same image. Just one's trade dress, one's virgin. Those books the covers are nice, but the market was not saturated with them, so they never really went below ratio. So they've always been hovering around the ratio price for those. This one, I've seen some sales at 25 or more. So who knows what will happen with this. Now, like I said, he's only the very last page he appears merged with the all-black symbiote. There's also some kind of Venomized cover. I think it's, I don't know, maybe a new Avengers, one of those Venom covers where they just threw random people on Venomized. That's pretty cool. That one I did not check to see if that's heating up. And then there is like an earlier book, which is Civil War II, the last issue, where basically they're looking into the future. And it just has a panel that shows Thor and all-black Loki fighting. So that one I'm not really too hot on because there's
no, and he's gone.
There's no
is this real life?
There's no text in it. There's no buddy, what?
Suddenly your audio has cut out.
Jesus.
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Son of a bitch. So this has been a painful exercise, and boy, we need Jimmy because we clearly can't operate this by ourselves. Moving right along, the book that I'm like most interested in. He's back.
Well,
I literally try to transition to other things, but you come back so quick that I can't do it. Yeah, no, which is a good thing. Yeah. But I want you to know that you are gone, but not forgotten.
Oh,
anyway, please continue your thought.
I don't have much else on this. I'm just saying these are some books to look out for. Also, there's a what's his name, Zaffino variant tomorrow for King Thor number 1, which is a 1-in-25.
It's freaking amazing.
It's nice. It's not as good as some of the other stuff.
Dude, yeah. I love that cover.
I don't know. Thor just looks weird, like his face or something. I don't know.
I like the blood splatter.
It's no Immortal Hulk number 2, that's for certain. Yeah, the blood splatter is a nice touch.
Oh, it's tremendous. So
that's selling for like 25 to 35. So we'll see. Yeah, I think people
couldn't pass that cover up if I saw it for 25 or 35 bucks. Yeah. No way.
They didn't have that one at the store?
No. I mean, remember, I'm basically split a diamond account with somebody who buys a lot more books than me and then lets me, like, buy books that he also bought to sell. You know what I mean? So it's like...
I would be ordering more King Thor than the Venom number 18, but maybe not.
He's also
maybe
on the verge of quitting comics and, at any moment. So it is what it is.
Is he going over to cards? Everybody's doing cards.
He's definitely not going over to cards. No. I don't understand that the allure, but different strokes for different folks.
I know.
Do you want to talk about? You want to talk about this sucker? It just won't stop.
Can't stop, won't stop. Once in future. Number one. This is a fourth print. Comes out tomorrow. So Jimmy had mentioned last podcast that we need to look back at some of these independents that and see what they were selling for. You know. When we first talked about them compared to
now.
And
here's where the displays fall apart. Because I don't even know what these fucking books look like or care about them enough to have, like, you know what I mean? I got nothing. I'm like, you're going to say something and I'm not going to be able to find it if you've got pictures. No,
I didn't include them.
Oh, okay.
I wanted to push those off a week. But that one, when we first started talking about it, for once in future number one, it was selling for about 12 bucks out of the gate. Now it's down to cover price, the second print.
The first print's down the cover?
Yeah, or maybe like a dollar more.
Ooh.
I've seen tons of pictures of shops that have a bunch of them. It was not under ordered, which is why the...
It was returnable. Printings.
Yeah. Second print's about 20 bucks, which is down from 50 to 30 when pre-release to when it came out.
Can you remember in the history of comics where there was a returnable comic that was hot out the gate that somehow like incrementally increased in value? I mean, there've been returnable comics that weren't hot out the gate that got returned.
Yeah.
That got hot. Right. But not like it's returnable. People are really excited about it. That's just like death to incremental increases in value or like a speculative uptick in value.
You're saying if it was returnable and then it's still did well on the secondary market like a month later?
Correct. Yeah, I can't think of any examples.
I'm sure there's some. I can't think of anything off the top of my head, but not a whole lot. I mean, even DC and Marvel have done returnable. DC did it with Rebirth stuff, I think.
Yeah, those books are really valuable. Wait, no.
I can't even sell those books for a dollar.
Right.
Man. Everybody got like real excited about, oh, it's going to be another new 52 where all the number ones sell for 20 bucks, you know, and no, they never, none of them ever went above cover price.
And, I'm worried about your audio.
Is it going again?
It's a painful reality. You got to go.
Oh, geez. Let me try that.
I'm sorry. I really am. All right, this time, hello?
I was going to try and do that. Just hit buttons.
Yeah, that definitely did not work. No, sorry. If I had any concept of how many people were watching the show, I'm confident that we're losing them by the moment. I do want to this time try and transition fast enough that I can beat Sleepy's return, right? So I apologize about the order of things. But what I really want to get into and talk about, what I was going to talk about with our guest tonight, who again may have been kidnapped by Steven Seagal along with Jimmy because she has disappeared. We were slated to have the one and only Nerdy Girl from Nerdy Girl Comics, who is a real force to be reckoned with in the Golden Age market, to come in and talk about those kinds of issues with us, and he's back. Yeah, I just keep running off at the jib long enough that you come back and I never make the transitions. People are going to think it's intentional, not that I'm long-winded. Anyway, please continue. I was telling them that I believe that the one and only Nerdy Girl, our guest tonight, may in fact be with James Lamborghini and Steven Seagal. You ever think about that?
Yeah, they went out for drinks, probably.
I'm the detective. The All game right. is afoot.
All right. I don't know. I don't have a whole lot else for this week other than if you're into the independence, there's a Jonathan Mayberry comic called Pandemica that comes out this week.
Ooh,
Mayberry's done some.
I have a graphic for that.
Oh, Mayberry's done some Marvel stuff.
Bam!
And, what's up? That's not it. But that, we'll talk about that one since you got it up.
About can you tell how little I know about this one?
Yeah, there you go.
Now
that's
it's up.
That's the 1 in 10 variant.
Yeah, I
just black.
I almost bought that until I saw how bad it looked in black and white, and then I was like, "Now pass." But the color one looks pretty good.
Yeah, I just love the baby on the back.
Baby on the back is the winner.
Yeah, and a gas mask.
And it's a 1 in 10, the black and white, correct?
Yeah, it's selling for like $15. This will be one of those ones that we talk about in a month where it's like worth $5.
1 and done.
Yeah.
No doubt.
I don't know. So the other book you put up there was.
Hold on. Let's wait Watcher. For our visual display.
Oh,
boom.
Watcher. This is number 2 from Zenoscope.
Okay.
Number 1 came out of the gate pretty hot and was selling for. This is the A cover, I believe. And then there's a J Anacleto.
Okay. So I've been.
B cover.
I've been notified that other people can hear you when I cannot hear you. And you get crackly, which is problematic to the extent that I would like to be responsive to the things that you say. Nevertheless, we can just be a train wreck, sort of like, you know, and a lot of people do this, like when children talk, like one child will be talking about like rainbows and unicorns and the other ones will be talking about like, I don't know, baseball and football, and they're like talking to one another, but they're not actually communicating. Some people that are married do that. I'm nervous about us doing that, but what the hell, we'll give it a try. Please continue.
So this is number 2, comes out this week.
It's a gorgeous cover.
Yeah, the cover's awesome.
Which is not enough in the comic game. Like, let's be very clear about that.
And this is only a 3-issue miniseries, so we'll see what it does. The number 1 is selling for like around $10 now still, which is not bad for this was
the A cover that was strong, right?
I could never figure out which was A and B because places had them listed differently.
Oh.
I like this guy's art better. I forget what his name is. The other cover. That it's weird. All the solicitations showed the other cover as like a pencil sketch. And then when it actually came out, it was all colored. So
interesting.
I know it's kind of weird, like how.
Sounds like the color was sleeping on the job, huh?
Let's move
Perhaps.
On.
Perhaps moving right along. Moving on.
Moving on. I don't know if we have anything else. I just had a bunch of pictures of those head warp variants that I thought some of them actually look pretty nice. Like
when
you said,
there was the event. We don't have anything else. You mean about this week's books? Because we've got a lot more
books.
To talk. Yeah, we have
about
a lot more to talk
books.
About.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, so we can throw a couple of those off if you want.
What you think about that?
That one's pretty. I like that.
Can I tell you something? It looks better in picture than it does in print.
Oh yeah.
Absolutely.
This is Alex.
It looks gorgeous on the screen. The books themselves.
Yeah, because
judge that for yourself. You'll just be like, oh, maybe Nico was right about something.
Because you never see it like that. You only unless you want to open the book up and
it just doesn't present that well on the paper cover.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I promise.
I could totally see that.
The colors don't pop. It's just, you know what I mean. Like it almost needed to be a foil cover to do something that sweet. The paper cover just does not look that good. In my opinion, this was another one.
That one I thought was terrible.
I mean, dude, that I'm not. Like, I
that
didn't
one's
bite
as bad
on it.
As, that one's as bad as the original Hulk one, I think.
Oh my god!
This is I think it's Pascal Ferry.
I may have a bit of trauma after that Immortal Hulk cover that I just can't really enjoy any of these too much.
Yeah. No, this is.
You know what I mean? It was so bad.
This is Luke Ross, Alex's less talented cousin.
Makes sense. What about this one?
Oh, that was Silver Surfer Black number 4, Peach Momoko variant.
One in 10?
25. 1 in 25. Sell them for about, there's a lot of buy nows at 35. There's some auctions ending today or tomorrow. It's kind of a weird cover. I mean,
well, the talk is what? That we're going to get some sort of like Galactus origin here.
Baby the talk Galactus.
Was, yeah. I don't know. I passed. It's hard for me. I like Tradmore when he draws Luther Strode, but Tradmore on Silver Surfer Black has been a hard pass.
A lot of people are saying that. It's too bad because it's Donny Cates, so the story might be enjoyable.
Yeah, I bet it's beautiful. What do we think about this one?
Oh, Something's Killing the Children, second print. It's fine. It may do so. I think the only reason that book heated up was because of the Frisson cover was
right. Pretty crazy. And am I correct? They're on, 4 printings now for this book as well?
Yeah. Yeah. And I think they're all going to be different cover art, but none of them will be as good as the Frisson cover.
And really, you want the black and white that was limited to, 300?
Something like that, 300 or 500.
I think it was 3. There was another 500, 1 in 500 variant. As well, and I think they were sold or solicited and sold by different retailers, but I do my best to avoid retailer variants when I can, although I'm sort of like a dog chasing a car when it comes to like beautiful comic book covers, you know what I mean? Sometimes it's really hard for me to like sit and watch that car go by.
Yeah, I'm surprised that Frisson cover is still selling for about $10. So
it's a testament to the strength of her fans. There's no question about it. And I have copies of them. It's in a long reading pile. So I tend to wait for a couple issues to come out before I actually will sit down and read a book. It kind of helps me sort things out when they fall off after an issue or two. They just end up in boxes. But I've heard good things about this book from the people that have read it. So that's at least promising. That being said, I mean, how many independents aren't just good reads and then into obscurity?
Yeah, absolutely. Some of them could go on for a while and you're like, is that, but they still make that book? So we'll see.
Absolutely. Okay. Let's talk about some of the older books that we pinpointed. I want to start with this guy.
Yeah.
I can't look at the outline with the precise figures on it and do this. Can you help us out with that stuff?
Yeah, I can do that for you.
You're a good man.
So this went for $173.50. Is that correct?
And hold on. And what does it say about the book?
It's missing the back cover. Yeah,
well. And that was in a live auction. This is the first appearance of the Black Knight, not Dane Whitman, but the first appearance of the Black Knight in Marvel Comics, and it is a incredibly hot book right now. The reason that I am super interested in the Black Knight, and if you're a member of the Facebook group, then you've seen my post about it. So the announcement of Kit Harington comes out. Of D23, it comes out alongside announcements about a Kamala Khan TV show, an announcement about a Moon Knight TV show. Those are two of the most beloved characters in Marvel Comics with two of the most rabid fan bases in Marvel Comics. And frankly, nobody gives a flying fuck about Black Knight, period. Right?
Or the Eternals.
Well, sure. But like compared to Kamala Khan and Moon Knight, Black Knight is a no one. Okay.
Yeah.
Dane Whitman is a no one.
Which I think that's a good movie to introduce him in, even though they're saying he probably won't get much screen time. But he's got a history with Cersei.
Yeah, but what happens?
Cersei, so what do you mean?
Avengers 47, Avengers 48, and the Black Knight become the top 10 trending search on eBay week after week. Not Moon Knight, not Kamala Khan. It is, in fact, the Black Knight. And that tells me that people who are Game of Thrones fans are drawn to this book, that people are hungry and hopeful that the Black Knight will have his own trilogy, and that they will tell, you know, sort of like a fantasy medieval kind of story within the MCU that will, you know, just be breathtaking. I mean, if Disney does anything, they make beautiful pictures. Some are on paper and some are on film. And I thought that that was particularly interesting. And what that tells me is that while everyone is running to Avengers 47, right, which is the worst of the three books, in my opinion, because clearly nobody gives a shit about the first appearance of Cletus Cassidy or Eddie Brock or any number of characters, right, like that. They always care about.
They you see that Spider-Man 344 is starting to sell for $40 and more.
Well, but I mean, crazy. In other words, compared to the 361, to the ASM 300, right? So the 48 comparatively is the big book, but those prices are pretty much identical for Avengers 47 and 48. When 48, I think, when the Black Knight appears in costume, takes up the sword, you know, becomes the Mad Knight, right, who gets a little crazy every time he uses his sword, that 48 is going to pull away. But really, the truly rare book is this Atlas book. And, you know, I think that it's the one that you want to look for. It's the one that you want to sink your money into. If you see it at a show, you know, it's the one that I think if you want to pull the trigger on one of these books, it's the one that I like because it is genuinely rare. And people just aren't paying attention to it right now. That being said, if you get stuck on eBay, somebody will still spend $123 for the back cover.
Yeah, 173.
I'm sorry, 173 for a copy that doesn't have a back cover. Because those that are in the know that this is a incredibly rare potential future monster, if it isn't already. All right, on to the next one.
What do you got for us next?
What in the actual fuck is this? How many times have you seen this in a show box?
Yeah, I didn't even know. So where is Nightmare? Is he the yellow guy in the background?
Who cares, right? I mean, but like, how many times have you seen that in a show box?
Yeah, I never even bother with any.
Don't even bother to pull them out and look at them.
Okay. Yeah.
I mean, I pass them all the time. Looking for the other Doctor Strange book that we think is going to pop that we've discussed in the past, the first appearance of your favorite character?
The Smurfs?
No.
Oh, what book? I don't know what book you're talking about.
you just had a post about it on the Facebook group you were talking about.
Spawn.
No.
Oh, that's what I posted about Spawn.
No. Maybe it was on another Facebook group, but
Nightmare. No. What the hell's his name? Shuma Gorath.
Who we don't think is necessarily going to appear in the Doctor Strange sequel, but we do think will probably pop up in one of the Hulu TV series. Because that's easy money. Right.
Yeah, I think this got hot because you were onto something here with the cover. Nightmare has started to come up as possibly being in the Doctor Strange
movie. Tell them about the live auction results.
Oh, and that's why this one caught your eye. So
because it's a book I see for $10 or $20 in long boxes in high grade condition. And I'm just like, pass.
It sold for over 200 raw, and it was listed as a near mint plus 9.4 in raw. Now, the thing that caught my eye was it sold for over 200 raw. You could get a 9.6 graded for $295, or it may even had a best offer on it. So something seemed a little strange with the results. And honestly, you can get a 9.4 graded now, not off eBay, but other sites, you can get it for under 200. So I don't know. Maybe that's something to look at. I guess I just don't understand. It's not his first appearance, right? It's just the first time they meet, I guess. Maybe, I don't know. I forget what.
He first appears in Strange Tales.
Oh, he's he's in his first appearance, Doctor Strange's first appearance. Yeah.
Right. So I mean, it's a black cover. It's a cool cover. It's actually a book I remember once looking at because it was a nightmare appearance and seeing that no one gave two shits about it. And I was just like, oh, I'm moving right along. It's why I recognize the cover now when I look through it, because I'm like, oh, well, no. But my point is simply people are taking a look at it and paying top dollar for high grade copies of this book that at least I have seen in show boxes for like 10, 20 bucks in high grade. And I would think about it. Now, you're going to pay maybe $30, $40 for a copy that's a near mint minus or a near mint. But if you can put them up on eBay and sell them for 200 and how much? What was it?
It was just over 200. It wasn't much over 200. So
yeah,
200 bucks. It's one to think about. This book. I mean, it's crazy.
Right. I picked up a Silver Surfer one today for half that price.
Maybe somebody knows something we don't, but it's not a, again, it's not right now. It's not a hard book to find.
Not
you can go well. Find it anywhere online.
All right. So keep going.
That was it.
Yeah. So what is, we've been talking about this. We talked about it last week. We saw another copy pop up in a big auction this week. We would tell us about those results.
Yeah. So it was advertised as a very good find, 5.0.
And it presented well.
And it sold for $3,120 for 5.0 raw.
Now, why is that wild?
Because a slab 3.5 sold for basically $1,000 a point, $35.50 last month, and a 2.5 sold for $1,600. So we talked about that 2 weeks ago. We talked about this book because it was odd to me that both of them sold the same day. So it was either one person bought two of them, or one person missed out on the auction and bought another one, you know, or once it hit, maybe it hit it. I think the cheaper one sold first. So maybe it hit a threshold on a live auction and they went and bought the book that they had enough money for or something. I don't know. And I think those were highs on the GPA on those prices, correct?
Absolutely.
From what you recall.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. The book is moving and it's moving up. Moving on up to the east side.
Moving on up. Yeah, and the actual books that I've seen don't present this purple. They're usually more of a darker color.
Oh, dude, this raw copy was gorgeous.
Yeah.
Absolutely gorgeous, and I think somebody stole it.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, if it grades out to that 5.0, they paid the same price as a 3.5 graded 2 weeks ago.
Now, is something that I kind of want to talk about in reference to this next book, which is there are a lot of these Golden Age books where the spread in the census is just not that profound, right? Like, you know, a 3.0 costs about the same amount of money as a 5.0. And I think that may be what is going on right here. Can we talk about what's going on with Mass Comics number one right now?
Yeah, that's a great book. I don't think we've ever talked about it on this podcast, but for the little bit,
I think I've talked about it in one of my weekend updates, but I don't think we've ever talked about it on the podcast.
Yeah, for a little bit of knowledge that I have on these books compared to you, I've seen this book a number of times and in auctions because it's usually featured.
And it's basically the same copy being traded back and forth, right? Because there's how many copies total on the census?
Yeah, what'd you say, 11 copies total?
Total
graded?
Total graded. Not in one grade, but in any grade.
Which that kind of surprised me because, like I said, it's usually featured like in a heritage auction or whatever. If you get an email from them, they'll usually have this as one of the featured books. So what? Go on about this one more, this actual sale on this.
So it's really interesting. And again, I don't have the outline in front of me, so you're going to have to help me out with the numbers. But right now on Comic Connect, there is a live auction with about a day and a half left. And the book is closing in on $12,000 in CGC 3.0 condition. That is the bottom book on the CGC census. This is really an enormous uptick for this book that I believe was sold raw recently on I think Instagram. Thereafter slabbed and now turns up here. What's super interesting about this is that earlier this year, a CGC 6.0 copy, which is basically in the middle of the census, not just in the middle of the grading scale, sold for how much?
$14,000.
No, 14 grand, right?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't have this one in front of me. Wow. As far as the prices, because you added it late.
Yeah, I mean, I'll I can tell us both real quick. It sold for a whopping $13,000. I lied.
Jeez, okay. I don't know if we can even trust you anymore.
You can definitely trust me, but just okay. Just about comics.
Okay.
Yeah.
just
all right. So again.
So wait, was Lamborghini not with Steven Seagal then?
I don't know.
Hmm. Okay. Well, all right. Go on.
Maybe
go on
James is with books. Nerdy Girl.
Yeah, they're doing their own podcast, I think. I heard that. It's called... it's
all very interesting.
Golden Age War comic books.
Makes sense. All right. So here's what's really interesting. There has been like this immediate outcry from guys who are smart about Golden Age books. Like, is something up? Like, is this shill bidding, right? Like, that was an immediate response from, like, a number of people who are pretty shrewd about this. And then, you know, and like, this is all developing here now, like, in real time. A pretty trusted and credible CGC member is like, nope, certainly not shill bidding. That's my book. So then, again, like, these guys are like, well, what's going on? And what I think is going on is this, what we were just talking about, that there are so few copies of this book that even though it is the bottom of the census, you're seeing people hungry just to get a copy in their hand because there's only one. And, you know, again, like the difference between a 3.0 and a 6.0 is a 10%.
Yeah, currently.
And the question I guess I have is after the 3.0 sells for this amount, what the hell is that 6.0 going to sell for?
I'd be putting that 6.0 back up if I just bought it. Be like, oh, this is like the quickest flip ever, you know, for double your money.
Like, yeah, right? Like, moving right along. I'll take that. Thank you for the cash. Yeah, I appreciate that. Yeah. So, do you want to talk about some of the questions that we were going to pose to our guest, who has been kidnapped by one Steven Seagal, as was James Lamborghini? Again, if you see this man, do not approach. Do not approach under any circumstances. He is a martial arts master, and unless you have Chuck Norris with you, you are in danger.
You're in danger. Great danger, my friend.
Let's talk about some of the questions that we were going to talk to her about. Because I think these are sorts of the things that you want to be thinking about kind of like generally in any market that you're playing in. Because, you know, we talk a lot about speculation at the micro level, right? Like very specific books, very specific plays. But if you're going to get really good at this, you need to be able to think about it at the macro level and apply those like macro principles, you know, at the micro level, and then, you know, allow your sort of like axioms and principles for investment and speculation to be informed by the decisions that you're making at a micro level. Does that make sense?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Okay. Sometimes I think I'm a lot more articulate than I really am. Anyway, let's go.
Yeah, it was. You got me thinking here with some of these questions. I'm just going to merge like two of them together. Basically, when you're talking about Golden Age books right now, what are you getting in on? And had some interesting discussion with a comic writer this weekend at the show, who I did not expect to talk about the books that he was talking about, but he was talking, we were talking about the original Brave and the Bold series, the first issues, you know, what the subject matter of those is, which is the Viking prince and stuff like, you know, it's just stuff that today would be very laughable that somebody could even make a book like that and have it be popular. But he was saying, you know, a couple people were talking about that as to books like that. They still, a lot of people like those books.
Yeah, and it wouldn't this be a is book interesting.
That I would think that, you know, like, now obviously like Brave and the Bold number one, that's going to command some money. So I want it just because of that, you know, people want it just because of that. But the Viking Prince, I mean, I don't know. Never heard anybody even talk about that before.
Well, that's really interesting that you bring that up, right? Because some people are going to try and diminish the value of the Black Knight book from the Atlas run, and they're going to use the first appearance of Thor and Loki that happened in Venus Comics, which I believe is a Harvey publication, or an Avon, maybe it's an Avon book. I don't really know. But the point is, it's not a Marvel book, right? Yeah. That being said, you know, if I've got a Journey into Mystery 83, I might want to move on to that Venus book. I mean, there are no slouches. And, you know, there's just like all of those sorts of like really interesting plays. Now, do you find those books for nothing in like a long box in the back of a retail shop? Absolutely not. But, you know, I kind of look at Golden Age books in terms of trends, right? So before I got back into comics, it was really like all about good girl art. I mean, good girl art was super popular. There was this resurgence in Matt Baker covers. There was a renewed interest in Matt Baker romance covers. You saw spikes in books like Spirit 22 and the Phantom Lady series generally. And that seems to have cooled down while pre-code horror now and LB Cole covers have been fiery hot. Now, look, when I say it seems to have cooled down, nobody's getting a deal on a Phantom Lady. Nobody's getting a deal on, you know, like Will Eisner's Spirit covers or any number of like, right? Like, that's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is that there's been incremental growth and not explosive growth, right? Horror books, we're now seeing explosive growth. And really, you know, what I was anxious to talk to Danielle about.
The other one you that blew up before Baker, what really was the Schomburg covers, the war covers, the time lease and stuff. And those are out of price for, if you're just trying to get into Golden Age, you're not going to be buying any Schomburg covers.
Ooh. But there was a time when they were relatively inexpensive. I mean, absolutely relatively inexpensive. You know, and I think, a lot of people are under the impression that movie and television news does not drive the price of these like enormous books, right? Like you'll hear it all the time, like from people that are really smart about comics. They're like, oh, well, you know, that doesn't change. They're dead fucking wrong. Okay. Like the price of the first appearance of Wonder Woman catapulted because of, her films. And similarly, if you know, Marvel actually puts the Android Human Torch, the Submariner, and Chris Evans as Captain America in like an Invaders movie, watch the fuck out for their Schomburg books. Like, but because, like, you know, at that high price range, they're not impervious to new money. Or to fear of missing out or any of those sorts of like driving forces that cause people to be like, I need that and I'll pay whatever price. You know, now, am I suggesting that anybody go out and spend like, you know, $2,000 to $10,000 on a hypothetical movie that may or may not get made? Absolutely not. Am I saying that it's just smart to take the cash that we make flipping modern books, copper books, and even bronze and silver books, and sinking some of that cash into a big golden age book, you're goddamn right I am. I mean, I think it's actually ridiculous if you're not doing that to some extent.
Golden age book.
Right. I mean, who can just randomly be like, I'm going to spend $10,000. I mean, nobody can do that.
Yeah.
But you know, if you can flip a couple big books and put together like a grand or two to pick up, you know, your own personal copy of Chamber of Chills 19 or Tomb of Terror 15 or a Black Cat 50 or an Eerie 1 or even just a couple $100 to grab some of the really cool EC covers, I don't think that's something that anybody's ever going to regret. Similarly, those books are as liquid as anything. Yeah. I mean, you can get in and out of them when you want. Really think, you know, like, again, the explosive growth is happening in the pre-code horror market. That may be an opportunity to get, you know, some really beautiful golden age, good girl art cheap. There has been no movement on war books. Now, certainly there's some interest in like flamethrower covers and some of the like, you know, just really like outrageous war covers.
Like
That's Racist is racist. A big book, right? Yeah, like that's a big
type
book.
Of racist cover.
Yeah, right. Like those sort of stereotypical drawings of Asian people, or right?
Yeah,
you know, Japanese people specifically from the World War II covers or whatever. Like those books command huge prices, but again, they've not seen. At least not in the last, you know, couple of years since that, when there was the big move on Schomburg books, any real explosive growth. So, you know, perhaps you find somebody who had a bad show and they're like, I've been sitting on, you know, whatever, you name the title for 2, 3, 4 years, it's been sitting on my wall. I'll let it go. And you may be shocked at what they'll let it go for.
So what about like, I did see one not too long ago and I thought it was ridiculously priced cause it wasn't in great shape, but it's always a very high demand book is First Sergeant Rock. Nobody even talks about that guy anymore, but try and get your hands on one of those.
Yeah. And that's interesting cause there's a couple different first appearances for him.
Yeah, I'm talking about Fighting Forces, where he's on the cover with the machine gun.
And I'm going to screw up the numbers, but it was like... yeah,
don't ask me on that
right, one. I won't even do it. But the point is, he was introduced like as Joe Rock and then Sergeant Rock. Yeah, and there's been like... that's one of those books where there's actually been a price correction. And people who are deeply invested in Hulk 180... or deeply invested in Warlock's first appearance in Fantastic Four, right? As opposed to Thor. Or deeply invested in Forever People number one, or any number of books where there's like some controversy, real or imagined, so, about what the it book to have is, we'll try and suggest like, but look at Sergeant Rock, right? Like that's
so you're the saying one. all those issues you just threw out, those aren't the first appearances? So what, I just throw all mine out if I got some of those? Fantastic Four, Warlock, throw it in the trash. Hulk 180. Marvel just said it was his first appearance, by the way. So that one's going
to
flip.
You know what's funny is listening to my friends be like, dude, when CGC puts first appearance of Wolverine on,
on Hulk 180.
The comic market's going to lose its mind.
Yeah.
And like different people that I talked to about comics have independently like identified that as the point where people are just like, fuck comics and fuck CGC.
Yeah. Got put on the
like
label.
Like the revolution will not be televised, but it'll start there.
True Wolverine, Hulk 180.
Yeah, so, you know, one of the things that I was going to talk to Danielle about is this new trend, at least from guys that I sort of look to for trend-setting behavior in the Golden Age market with an uptick in interest in pulps. I picked up a couple actually yesterday. I was showing you, shocked at what they were selling for on eBay.
High or low?
I know. Huge money. huge money. And they're gorgeous covers. You know, these are like 10 cent, 15 cent pulp magazines, pulp fiction in the most real sense, right? From the 1940s and 50s. And I think that you're seeing a lot of golden age dealers of the opinion that now that CGC has agreed to grade magazines, that there's at least a chance that they'll start grading pulps. Now, obviously,
They've always graded magazines. Like, what do you mean they've agreed to grade? They've always graded magazines.
Well, like Warrior Magazine, for example. Oh,
yeah, bigger.
You know what I mean? Sizes. Like, right. Yeah, I apologize. And again, like my thought is, like when you talk to these guys who actually grade books, you know, they're like, yeah, we spend like, you know, sufficient time looking at each books, and you keep asking them and you keep asking them, and they're like, I mean, dude, we don't look at them for that. You know what I mean? And you're just like, ah, oh, come on.
Man. The graders?
It would take a long time to grade a 200, 300 page pulp. I mean, they're like this thick.
Oh, right, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, they make great, like, you sit there and count pages and stuff. And a lot of those books are in incredible condition that have still survived. So, you know, do I think that that's going to happen here in the next year? Absolutely not. Do I think that if you are in an antique bookstore, you should absolutely look for pulps? You're goddamn right, I do. And I think there's going to be an increasingly large number of collectors that are going to be interested in those books. And again, if you can pick them up at antique stores for like 10, 20 bucks, and then you can sell them for like $50, $100, you know, or more, depending on whether or not you get like a really beautiful cover, you can parlay that into whatever you want. So there's absolutely money to be made there.
What titles did you pick up? Like, what's the titles?
Mine were Phantom Detectives, and they were gorgeous. And our friend Keith, who's a friend of the podcast, who was not able to make it tonight, although we didn't give him much notice, he suggested Weird Tales pulps as like just a beautiful series. Although you know, he's about as unfamiliar with the pulp market as we are. But is astute about comics and you know, is a quick learner, you know, particularly when you talk about like antique books. And one of the things that he was asking me about that I'm actually a little bit hip to is like, are there any illustrations inside of these magazines? And the answer is absolutely. You know, but you're talking about like 200-300 page magazines, so you like gotta look through them. And then the king of all pulps, of course, is the first appearance of Tarzan.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, and I don't know what the hell that thing's called.
Well, it's not pulp, I guess. It's Mexican magazine, Conan.
Yeah, and I have developed some eclectic tastes. I think, you know, a lot of comic guys do. After a while, like, we just look for things that we still have to chase.
Yeah.
You know, so you see me out there. Right. You know, like shit that I can't buy with my comic book money that I actually have to go out and hunt. Like dig for, grind for, that the thrill of the chase is, you know, just so much of the excitement around, collecting comics. You know, so something like pulps, where there's not a really, robust and developed market, in the same way that there is with comics for these gorgeous covers, provides an opportunity. I mean, if you look at the eBay listings for these things, people don't even know what number the pulp that they're listing at, right? Just like, pulp,
yeah.
Here's the title. Isn't it pretty? $200.
Well, but you know part what of I mean? The problem with those is, yeah, but part of the problem is those, like, they weren't, because they're more like a magazine, like a Time magazine, they're more like, you know, June 19, yeah, whatever.
Right. Not, you know, like, it's not worth a shit. Number. Time magazines or Life magazine.
I told you about that one. No, Life magazine. I'm
thinking. Life magazines are not worth shit.
I told you about the one about the magic mushrooms. That's a good one to get. Try and find that one.
I have like the first 10 Life magazines. They're literally worth nothing. And I was just like, well, this is fucked up. That's offensive. This is important. This is like important history.
Maybe we should be buying those. Also, hunting and fishing, old fishing magazines. Those
are good, did right? I ever tell you? Did I ever tell you about the time that? So, like, I buy, you know, interesting magazines. I picked up a copy of the Hustler magazine where Larry Flint makes fun of Jerry Falwell. Right?
No.
Yeah. Okay. And I inadvertently left it in a show box, and. Yeah, and a gentleman with special needs came up and was like, "Can I buy this?" And I'm like, "No, you can't." God. My right hand to God. Oh my God, George.
There was a lot of places I could have taken that story, but that's a pretty good.
Yeah, I was like, "You're a terrible person. What did you just do?" And like, thankfully, like the cover of the magazine wasn't like, you know, pornographic or anything, but like, I was like, "That's important for history." And he looked at me like, "Well, you're an asshole." Yeah. And like, yeah, and I just didn't even know what to do at that point, dude.
Yeah.
I just wanted to like hide under a rock.
He was like, "Dude, this isn't Playboy. There's no articles in this one."
It's a good point. I should have gone with an articles comment right. and maintained my coolness, but instead there was just a look of horror on my face, probably like there is now at recounting that that way that I traumatized that young man.
Yeah. "Get your damn hands off my magazine."
Jesus.
What? That would have been great.
Oh my God. And it was at one of those shows where like, and the only one that you know, you and I do, where the like is explicitly in the contract that's like no pornos. Because you know, like you go to like some shows and there'll be like some weirdo who's like only got Cinescope, and then it's just like Bob's and Vagine. You know, you're just like, whoa, dude, there's like kids here, you fucking weirdo. Like throw a tarp over that shit.
Those
man.
People are, yeah, I saw one of those people this weekend. It's funny because you look at the comics and then you look up at them and then you look back at the comics and
you're like, yeah, you like, need it. It's okay.
What do you like?
You definitely need these.
What are you doing here? What's going on here, buddy? Like,
right. Yeah, call the FBI. We've got a sex criminal.
Like, you got some real, you got a lot of pride in yourself putting these books out there, showing that these are the only kind of books you collect. Oh,
Lord have mercy. Let's talk a little bit about our outrageous show experience. You had a friend there.
Yes. The Enforcer was out. He had a pretty good show.
Bob the Enforcer?
Yeah. He has some good.
Dino was a no show.
Yeah. Dino from Flipside did not show. He had, he was wifed up for the day. He
chose wisely, as
yeah, no kidding. Well, I would have just wanted to hang out with him, you know.
Yeah, me too. But I mean, like, if he was coming with the books and not the company.
Yeah, and Paul was on the fence too. Paul had a classic.
I didn't know that Paul was even going to come until you told me he wasn't coming, and I was like,
yeah. So, like, we talked about it months ago, and he was like, yeah, I can come down at least for a day or something, because he doesn't live that far from me.
Okay.
And about 2 weeks ago, he was like, oh, guys, I can't come. It's my wedding anniversary weekend. It's like, dude. How do you not know that? He's like, well, you know, Paul's problems, you know. I was like, yeah, exactly. Like, this is not, when he tells these stories, these are not made up. These are actual stories.
Yeah. Well, like, I feel his life. Like, you should talk to like Ben and John and the rest of the guys.
Oh, I did.
We could put together like a pool of money and send it to his wife and say, thank you for taking care of Paul for the rest of us. We appreciate the service that you do to the comic community. And,
thanks for setting out his clothes every morning for him.
Right. Yeah. I've never met him in person. Oh. I had a good spec though once on a Star Wars book, you know, and like Star Wars specs always kind of fucking ridiculous and silly, but he was on the like Android Emperor clone book early. You know what I mean? Early enough that you could still find them in long boxes. So let's not don't let him fool you. He knows what he's doing.
Every once in a while.
Okay, so talk about the show. I met the guy who illustrated the Muppet Babies, which was like the most amazing thing in the world.
That guy was weird. Our other buddy who was there, he was like, he's on his phone and he's just yelling at people the whole time. And then he was like, you know what? I think that's just how he is. Like, he's not like yelling at people. That's just like how he talks. Yeah.
He's aggressive.
And he looks like he's pissed off all the time. But so I don't know if you were there. I don't know if he told you, like, when I was gone, after I put out all my boxes, I had one box. It was just – originally it was all Spawn books that I had taken to other shows. Okay. It was just a short box. And obviously, like, there's people that just say, hey, you got any Spawn? Like, yeah, it's right in that box right there. Well, I had sold a bunch, and so then I put some Betty and Veronica's in there that I had never had out because they really didn't fit into any of my boxes. So I had Spawn and Betty and Veronica, and I guess he was yelling across the aisle, what kind of idiot put Spawn and Betty and Veronica in the same damn box? What did he think? And I guess he was like, he was yelling, and he wouldn't stop. So my buddy had to go over to like get closer to him so that he wasn't like yelling across the aisle.
Like, dude, it's okay. Do you want us to separate them for you? Are your OCDs? Right.
Well, and it was funny.
Do you have medication for that? Is there a
I guess he was going
make you feel better?
He was going on about
do you want to call your therapist? Do you have Archie a therapy comics? Dog? No. How about the guy that was selling like coasters that was trying to buy a Phantom Lady off my wall after I left from my buddy and you?
He was selling coasters? I didn't know that.
Selling something weird, like I don't know.
I didn't know that.
Like prints that were like unauthorized, you know, like
oh great,
who knows?
Those people.
Yeah, it was something. It was something strange, you know what I mean? He was like just a step above like the beef jerky guys, which we didn't have any. Like, I was like, where's the fudge? I like the good gummy bear guys. Where's he at?
I don't think it was.
So anyway,
the place was not sanitary enough for those kind of people. I think that was part of the problem. Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yep.
There was some strange cosplay going on as usual.
There wasn't too much that I saw. There were some good ones. I don't know. Just so it was a lot.
Thing I saw at that show, and I hope you weren't there for it. But it was just like the most breathtaking scene. There was a guy who was probably every bit of 65, 75 years old who was wheeling his like 85, 95 year old father in a wheelchair.
Yeah.
Are you familiar with those two? That's my first encounter with them. And
they go to all the shows.
They buy big books and watching their interaction together, right? Like Pops, I'll come back and get you. Don't try to wheel over here. Looking at these like books together, like it just, I mean, dude, that like I am, I'm by no stretch of the imagination a softie. But that one hit me in my chest. It was truly gorgeous to watch.
It's cool. It would be cool to have like, you know, stuff like that you could do with your parents as you age. And for him, like you said, he's probably 85 and, I'm sure he's like looking at these books and he's like, yeah, I remember when this came out, like, that's why I want it. Like, I don't have it anymore. So now I'm going to buy it again, you know, or I've had it because they actually are dealers or they used to be. I haven't seen them set up in a while. So maybe at one time he had them and now they're just buying them back or something like that, you know. Wow. So it's cool. Yeah, they go to go to the bigger shows for sure in the area.
Yeah, well, I'm a fan. I want to get those two on a t-shirt, right?
And like you said, they're not looking – they're only looking at – silver and golden age books, really.
Yeah, they picked up a stack of golden age Batman from your buddy, golden silver age Batmans.
Yeah,
the 15 centers, maybe 20 centers. I don't know.
Yeah,
but those were the books they were looking at. I wasn't privy to their deal.
Yeah.
But what else stood out to you? I didn't see. Well,
holy cow! Well, the power just went out. Jesus. Okay.
What did we see there? We saw a failure of modern technology and the Ohio Power Company.
Yeah. I think that was like interesting to me.
What books weren't on people's walls? I mean, I saw one copy of Tomb of Dracula 10, no copies of Werewolf by Night 32, no copies of Marvel Special Edition 15. I saw no key Kamala Khan books. All of the books that are on eBay right now, because there have been so many announcements, were there in short supply or they weren't there at all. And I thought that was pretty interesting.
Yeah, I don't think I saw any.
There were dealers from New York State that came in.
I don't think I saw any of those books. Of course, the people that I knew that were set up there, they probably wouldn't bring those except for one guy maybe who's, you know, out of Pittsburgh area. He may bring books like that, but he had one that week, but it was just sold already. So,
right.
Yeah, that was interesting. I forgot about that.
Yeah, but I mean, it was just kind of like, what didn't I see? I saw no ASM 361s. I saw no ASM 300s. I mean, you can like go through the list of keys and they just, the ones that are generally in some, you know, like some reasonable supply, if they're not reasonably priced or if they're priced, you know, at market or above market. And by that, I mean like how much you would pay plus shipping on eBay, plus 10, 20%. Like you usually see these books at shows, right? I saw very few of them. So I don't know.
Yeah, I saw a 300.
Yeah, I don't know if that was necessarily indicative of the kind of show that we were at, or if it is just kind of indicative of the market that those books are in the hands of private collectors now, who are individuals selling them on eBay or the massive national dealers, but not readily available to guys that are regional dealers at these kinds of shows. It'll be interesting to see, for example, I'm doing another show in October, what kind of books I see there. That'll give me a better flavor for what, you know, those, what availability there is of those sort of keys, at least in our region of the country.
Yeah, definitely.
Anything else you can think of, my friend?
I don't have anything else from, no, not at all.
All right, well, it's been real.
I did get, one thing I will say, I did have one dealer offered me all of his modern back stock. He's like, you want to buy all these 16 boxes? I was like, no, I have no reason to buy those. And one of the other dealers ended up buying it. That's like always kind of what is intriguing to me is that kind of stuff about shows. When you're there breaking down, usually, you know, as a dealer, you're breaking down, you see the other people, what they're doing, some side deals, this and that, or even before the show starts up, usually there's some horse trading going on, but I thought that was pretty interesting that, you know, that he was just like, you know what? I think it was kind of like, I didn't make any money. Let's just get rid of some stuff that, so I don't have to haul it back with me, and got plenty of other stuff to sell the next time or at the shop or whatever.
Yeah. I was close to doing more on eBay than I did at the con
until it was terrible, honestly.
I mean, you know what I mean? I haven't listed books in a solid month.
Yeah.
Like anything on eBay. I don't think I listed anything following the D23 announcements.
Yeah.
But anyway, let's take 2 seconds to talk about one important issue before we go. James Lamborghini is missing. He's in the custody of one Steven Seagal. If you see Mr. Lamborghini or Mr. Seagal, please contact local authorities. Do not, under any circumstances, approach Mr. Seagal unless, of course, you are Chuck Norris.
Well, also, he was on a show with Shaquille O'Neal. So maybe if you're with Shaq, they'll be friendly to each other where you could approach at arm's length. Arms length, or maybe stay out of roundhouse length, maybe.
Shaq's arms length, not Shaq's your arms length.
There you go. There you go. Yep.
Be safe.
Good point. Good point.
What do they all say? Right. If you see something, say something. If you see something, say something.
Yeah. Yep.
Bye, guys.
All right. Well, thanks for watching.